It's Kiva. It's 8 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva, artist interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight featuring Chicago-based singer-songwriter Zane Lodaya, who is new to the indie pop rock scene. His love for music was first a hobby in college, and then he picked up his first guitar in 2009 and turned it into something serious that he's doing full-time now. He released his first EP called Memories in June of 2011, and just released his latest EP called Delete, which he will have an EP release for at Sylvie's Lounge in Chicago on June 28th. Then you can catch him at Uncommon Ground on Devon, also in Chicago, on Monday, August 12th. The first song of the night is Lifetime, which is my song choice of the week.
Precious teardrops hit the floor. Questioning your choice of open doors. 'Cause all you wanted was to change. Oh, everything that caused the pain. And all the love you say for all these rainy days somehow got washed away.
So what do you have going on next week, or what's coming up? Do you have tours? I know you have, you're playing on June 28th at Sylvie's Lounge.
Yeah. So
and then August 12th at Uncommon Ground on Devon. But do you have anything else going on?
At the moment, no, not right now. I have we're just practicing for the release show on the 28th. I am in the process of trying to book some stuff in other areas around the Midwest, such as like Madison, Milwaukee, St. Louis, just different areas here. But it's just been a little crazy so far the last couple of days.
That's good, though. Crazy busy.
It's a good busy, so I'm not complaining. But like you said, sometimes you just need those days where you can just relax.
Yes, you don't have to think, oh, I got to get up and I got to go here. You know, you just want to stay home and chill.
Exactly.
Now, I saw that The Leap was made available May 21st.
Mm-hmm. Came out then.
How long had it been since you did your last EP?
So the last EP came out in June of 2011, so almost 2 years before. Two years since the most recent release. Although with some of the songs on The Leap, I was releasing them as singles throughout 2012. So there were some like mini releases in there, but the official album came out May 21st. So almost 2 years after the last EP.
Now, did you like releasing them as individual songs, or would you rather just do it all at one time?
Well, I tried to take a different approach to it with the producer that I was working with. I thought that it would be cool to put a 12-song album together. And starting in January of 2012, what we were going to do is write and record a song per month. And so we were able to do that January through, I want to say, July or so. And then, unfortunately, just schedule started getting a little crazy, and so we weren't able to finish all 12 songs throughout the rest of the year. I think we released a total of 9 in 2012. But I think by September or October of that year, since I'd already missed a couple of months, I decided that I was going to save the last three, keep them as like a little surprise, record those, so that the last three would not be released as singles, compile the entire thing, throw in a couple of bonus tracks on there, and release it as one full album at that point.
That's pretty cool. I like that approach.
So it's fun because I look back at it and the first song that was recorded is, I mean, they're all different from each other, but it was a nice experience to see the progression of both myself as a musician, as a writer, as well as both like the production aspect and the co-writing that the producers were helping me with. So it was fun. As that relationship grew, I think the writing got a lot better and there was just a lot more gelling that went on throughout.
Have you had the same producers for both?
No, I worked on this song with, I worked on this album with producers that I met for the first time. It's a group called Pioneer Project.
Uh-huh.
And the two producers that are a part of that organization or that project were part of the punk rock movement here in Chicago. They both played for a band called June, originally called Drive Like June. But they started back in like 2004. They were touring with Fall Out Boy, Plain White Tees, The Academy Is. So they were doing a lot of stuff then. And the band I think disbanded around 2008. And after that, they still wanted to get their creative juices still flowing and be involved in different projects, but maybe more from a songwriting and production aspect. So we got connected at the end of 2011, and yeah, everything just went kind of from there.
My daughter is actually a huge Fall Out Boy fan. She went to their concert in Columbus last month.
Oh,
got a tattoo the other day with Fall Out Boy on her. So she's committed to liking them. Yeah.
Well, they're fun. I've listened to the last album. I really like it a lot. I actually got to see them in concerts way back in like 2008 or something. They came down to the campus U of I while I was down there. And their live show was really awesome, so I started listening to them from then on.
Next up is the title track from the EP, The Leap, and that is the artist choice song of the night.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Hey. Oh, yeah. Off the ledge to where
Now, have you always been from Chicago? Did you grow up there?
Yep, born and raised in Chicago. The only time that I didn't spend here was while I was at school, but that was only a couple hours away for college.
Now, how do you like Chicago? I mean, you're still there, so you must. It is my favorite big city because it's kind of like a small town big city. You know, you have your neighborhoods and. It's very comfortable to be in a big city.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, I love it. It's home for me. A lot of my family and friends are here. I've been to a lot of different cities. I've been to New York, LA, DC, San Francisco. I mean, I love all these other cities, but it's tough for me to ever like imagine living there or leaving Chicago. They're great places to visit, and I love seeing them. But like you said, there's a feel around Chicago that feel is just that it's easier here. There's a lot going on. It's not too spread out. The traffic is bearable, unlike in New York. You know, I mean, well, getting around New York, you wouldn't drive, but here at least you would have the freedom to drive if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't think the traffic in Chicago is that bad. I hate Atlanta much, much more.
Well, I mean, I was in L.A. earlier this year in March, and it was the first time that I really got to explore downtown L.A. And, I mean, I was out with some with my cousins and some friends on a Friday night in downtown L.A., and there was nobody there. And I was surprised, and I thought that this would never... It was just different because... And they explained to me that, you know, people don't like to drive all the way in, especially if they're going to be drinking or something else while they're out there. They don't want to be driving all the way into the city. They don't want to be doing all this stuff and then having to drive back. And I just, that's when it hit me that LA is just so spread out.
I was there in February, and then I was there in October the year and a half before. And the same thing, I was expecting this horrendous traffic, and it wasn't that bad.
Over there?
Yeah, in L.A., it wasn't that bad to me. And I thought, like you, I was like, where's everybody at? There's not a lot of traffic here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the traffic can get pretty bad. I did experience some pretty crazy things over there in terms of just having to go 3 miles and waiting like half an hour because nobody's moving. But I guess that's only in select areas, so it depends on where you're going. But it's just really, really spread out, and I didn't realize that until this most recent visit there.
Well, I think that I've gotten lucky. When I go with people, I stay with people who live there. So they kind of know different ways to go or, you know, ways around stuff, other things to see, so it doesn't become so overwhelming, you know?
True, true, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's better to go with people who know the city than kind of exploring it on your own.
Next up is another song from the EP The Leap called Keep Breathing.
She brushes her hair out of her eyes, and now I can see her nervous smile. Words unsaid written all over her face, screaming in the silence she's about to break. Oh, I don't want this to end. Oh, I don't want this to end. How could I let this happen? She says, keep breathing, keep breathing. I know it's a lot to take on. Keep breathing, keep breathing. But it has to be this way. I know it's hurting now, but it'll get better one day. Shaking, so I'm clasping them tight, staring out the window into the dark of night. Her voice is all she asks if I'm okay. I lie a lot, cause there's nothing left to say except, oh, I don't want this to end. But she repeats it again. Yeah, she says, someday, I guess I'll pray, and I will keep breathing, keep breathing. I know it's a lot to take. I'll keep breathing, keep breathing.
Another thing I saw on your blog, which I had to ask about, gotta know more,
sure,
is that you were asking for a Discman because you were going to try to learn a language that you should have learned as a baby.
Yes, I was. Well, I've been getting by without a Discman so far, but it'd be
That's nice to
walk around and not be in front of other people when I'm sounding terrible trying to speak other languages. But
what are you trying to learn and why?
So I my parents come from two different countries. My father's from Pakistan originally, and my mom's from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I mean, in the house, they spoke English, so that's really the only language that I learned. And although I wanted to learn for the longest time, I never got around to doing it. And I just felt like I could have been trilingual at this point in my life and really fluent. And unfortunately, here I am just only speaking English. So I thought that now would be a good time before I start getting at that age where I just don't care anymore, or my brain doesn't want to cooperate with me, or my memory doesn't want to cooperate with me. So I figured I would give these little Pimsleur audio books.
Yeah.
So shot and so far it's been all right. I can somewhat converse with people without sounding too much like English, or wouldn't you know too much with an English accent. So we'll see how it goes. I'm still in the beginning stages.
How do your parents? Are they excited that you're doing this, or
you know,
is it just no big deal to them?
I thought they'd be more excited, but they're just like, "Oh, okay, good. It's about time." And I'm like, "What do you mean it's about time? You guys are supposed to be teaching me this growing up. I'm pinning this on you guys." And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, good for you. You're taking the initiative." And so, if a pat on the back is all I'm going to get, then at least you know it's something.
Yeah, it's much easier when you're younger. My daughter, yesterday, I can't remember where we were at. We were driving somewhere, and she saw El Toro or something. She said, "Did you take Spanish in high school?" I said, "I did." And she said, "What is El Toro?" I thought, thank God she asked me that one. That's the one I remember. I was like, that's the bull. Because my parents lived in Spain. They lived in Panama. But to them, what I was learning in school was Mexican, not Spanish. And she would say, "Oh, you're saying it wrong." And are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if I lost you.
No, I'm here.
But she would say, "Oh, you're saying it wrong." And turns out my college professor, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the plane crash in Sioux City.
That sounds familiar, but I don't remember the details.
It hit the ground, exploded, broke into pieces, but she said she was in the plane crash, survived. She came to my college and was teaching French and Spanish. She was German. So everything had a German accent.
Wow.
And it turned out, a few years after I graduated, turns out that she lied about having a PhD. She was not qualified to be teaching.
That's crazy. And how do you lie about a PhD?
I don't know. I don't know how that got past everyone, you know, and how crazy is it that she thought that was okay and normal, you know, to do that. So the extent of my Spanish is, you know, Toro and, you know.
Simple
just a few
word.
Things on the menu. I don't even get everything on the menu. Yeah, you know? And I tried to. I wanted to learn Italian, so I got Rosetta Stone to learn Italian because I want to go to Italy one day. And if I go, I want to be able to speak the language. That being said, if you don't get to use the language, if you don't have somebody to use it with, you lose it.
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah. At least people to use the language with.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to convince everyone that I know who speaks to speak it with me, but we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, I'm in the same boat as you with Spanish. I mean, I took 6 years of Spanish growing up in grade school and high school, and it's tough for me to remember a lot of things now.
Unfortunately,
just you don't keep up with it. Sometimes, not recently, but before, I would try and just like tune into the Spanish channel on TV and be like, okay, well, let me see if I could just pick up some things and maybe. You know, just kind of see where my level is at, and then everything just kind of flies over my head. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
and they talk so fast that by the time I process one word, 20 more have happened, and I'm like, I can't. It's like high speed talking, and I can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I mean, reading at least. I mean, if there's like something to read, then I can like dissect it slowly at my own speed. But when someone talks, I'm just like. Please, can you repeat that like 80 more times?
Yeah, I'm way better at the reading part. I can do that and have no problem with that. You know, I can pick up enough words in the reading that I can get what the sentence means. But yeah, if somebody's speaking it, I'm hopeless.
Yeah. There was actually a course that was offered in high school. It was called Spanish Conversation. And basically, it was after you completed all like the 4 years of requirements and... what you do is essentially you go to class every day and just speak it with other students, with the teacher, with anyone else that was brought in. And so, of course, being the high school student that didn't want to go above and beyond, I did not take that class. So here I am still struggling to have normal conversations in basic Spanish.
And that's a nice segue into the next song of the night, which is Lost for Words.
I'm good.
Now tell me about your music and how you got into it. It was kind of a hobby that developed, and
it was a hobby that developed into a passion. A lot of that happened very quickly over a short period of time. The fun story that people always ask me about is how I just got started, and so it's if you remember the game Rock Band a couple of years ago.
I do. Yes, my kids would get me to play it. I was not good at it.
So I mean, I was never into the whole Guitar Hero thing, and so but we bought it as an apartment in, or we bought it for our apartment, my roommates and I, and there were four of us, and I think we picked it up on our way back coming back from winter break, and you know, we were really excited about it. Everyone was talking about it. We had played it once at another friend's place, and so I really wanted to play the drums, and I had no, you know, musical interests other than that. You know, I loved music, but my genres were mainly like hip hop, R&B, soul music, different things like that. So I hadn't really gone into the whole rock side at that point. And when we bought the game, we started setting it up, and as soon as we arrived on campus, I just had to go take care of a couple things. And so I called the drums, and I went to do whatever errands I had to take care of, and when I got back, everyone had set everything up already, and they're like, "Oh, you weren't here, so you get the microphone." I'm like, "I don't even know." I'm like, "I don't even know these songs." I don't even know how to sing them. I don't know anything. I'm not even a singer. Like, you know, there was nothing that could have come good out of that situation at that point. But, you know, we started playing. The game was fun. And then in order for our band to succeed, I not only had to learn these songs, but I had to learn how to sing them well. And then doing that, you know, we started playing the game. We were obviously going through. We'd have people over. People would ask me. They'd be like, "Oh, Zane, I didn't know you could sing." I'm like, "I didn't know either. I'm just trying to get 90%. I'm trying to get like 75% on this song so we can pass it and get on to the next one." So, you know, it introduced me to a whole different genre of music or genres of music. And shortly after that, my roommate was playing guitar, or he was learning guitar, and so I picked it up as well, and we were kind of learning together, and just the creative side kind of popped out at that point, and just we started writing some stuff, and it went from there. And after college is when I started to just start writing songs for fun, and just getting a little bit more serious about it, and I put my first EP together as... I don't want to say a joke, but it was more just like a dry run through to see how the whole process was and see what it was like. And I really enjoyed it. So just started getting more serious into writing from there.
So have you learned to play the drums yet, or missed opportunity?
I can only play one song on drums in Rock Band, and that is Maps on the original one, because that one is so much fun. So I practiced it over and over, but I didn't practice any other songs. So I think I just practiced the movements and not really the technique. So no, I cannot drum. but I'm trying to get there. Another thing.
But see, that would be the instrument I would pick too. I would want drums.
They just seem like so much fun.
I agree. How can they not be fun?
See, the thing is, I feel like I have some sense of rhythm. You know, when the song's playing and I'm driving in the car, I'm like banging on the steering wheel, and I feel like I'm, you know, somewhat in time. But you translate that to when I get on like a drum set, I'm like, okay, I have no idea what to do. Like my feet and my arms, they don't coordinate with one another.
Yeah, and that would be my problem. I don't coordinate well either, evidenced by, and hopefully you'll be amused by this as I was, I have a Toyota Highlander, and it's got a push-button start. And I also have the Bluetooth,
mm-hmm.
Which is on my backup camera. So I touch the buttons there. I was talking to my husband, I was at a stop sign, and I went to hang up the phone conversation. And I, for some reason, decided to hit the power button to the vehicle and totally killed it in drive. I, of course, was at a stop sign, but it wasn't in park. And I just hit it and turned it off, and then I'm, like, waving out the window, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Oh, no.
You know, because my coordination there. And I think I did it one more time. My husband's like, what's wrong with you? How do you miss this button for this one? I said, they're kind of close. I said, and to me, I know I want to end it, so I end it by turning off the whole vehicle.
Oh, man, they're going to have to outlaw Bluetooth soon in cars.
Yeah, I'm like, is there not like some kind of, there should be like a, I don't know, a kill switch mechanism thing where you can't turn it off while it's in drive.
Again, funny segue to the next song, Long Run, as long as you don't hit the kill switch.
Anyway, yeah, that led to some darker days. But here I stand, a reflection from the light in you. Oh, I heard in the long run that I won't make it anywhere. You say, 'cause I ain't got it.
So have you learned to play any other instruments besides the guitar?
Well, growing up, I learned how to play the piano. I took piano lessons until about 7th or 8th grade, and after that, I never really kept up with it. So I guess it's one of those things where it's like riding a bike. You learn how to play it, and you're not going to forget, but that doesn't mean you're always going to be good at it.
Right.
So if you put a sheet of music in front of me, you know, I'll be able to play it. You might have to give me like a couple of hours or days, but you know, I'll know exactly what needs to be played at what point. But in terms of like proficiency with it, I haven't really kept up with it. For the last EP though that I released, a lot of the songs that I wrote were based on piano because I was trying to get back into that, and then I just realized writing wise it was a lot easier for me to do stuff on guitar, to be a little bit more creative on guitar because I was more fluent with it, and so that's why I kind of made this switch over, and unfortunately haven't kept up with piano as much as I should have.
Well, I noticed, and I'm not Rich Wildman with MSI. Rich is very technical. He knows all the ins and outs of things and can analyze music that way. For me, I'm a journalist by trade, and then kind of happened into doing music interviews and everything. And the way I approach music is just as a fan and what I like hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't say anything the right way, feel free to correct me and it will be okay. But I think when I was listening to your music, I noticed a lot of, and I might date myself calling it this too, but synthesizers or keys, is that fair, or did I not hear that?
No. That's correct. I mean, we did have a lot of production elements and utilize electronic keyboards, electronic keys within a lot of the songs. I think just because each song was done differently, what we wanted to do is have like the acoustic guitar be something that was consistent in each and every song. And I think you have that there just because the songs were originally written on that instrument. But you are correct. I mean, a lot of songs, you know, we try to get creative with the production elements. For me, it's just, I think it's really cool when you can, you know, when you have a song idea and you really just put a lot of different elements and different sounds and you can really mesh them together well. And then when you perform it, you have the option of performing it that same way or stripping it down and playing it acoustic. And I think to have two versions is just, it's really cool to me. Growing up, like whenever I'd hear music, I would love to hear like the original. And then if I saw a band live or if I was watching videos on YouTube, I thought it was so cool for a band that had like this super like produced, not overproduced, but just super, super produced song with, you know, all these different sounds and things going on. For the guy to just get on the piano or get on the keyboard or on guitar or something like that. And people just kind of banging different things or shakers and stuff like that. And to create like a whole different sound for the same exact song, I thought that was a really cool thing to do. So while we were in the studio, we definitely wanted to get creative with a lot of the elements that we had at our disposal, a lot of the tools and instruments, electronic instruments that we had at our disposal. And, you know, we're happy with how it came out. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of these songs were written acoustically, and I love performing them acoustically as well.
I like that, though, like what you're saying. I like where you can get the EP or get the music, and then when you go see the live show, it's different. I really like that because I want something different. I don't want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it when musicians change it up, when they interact with the crowd. And you get that with indie musicians much more than you get with the big name bands and how they are. And that's kind of how I've evolved into, I would much rather go see an indie musician anytime over a big name band.
Well, yeah, I mean, the environments usually tend to be a lot more intimate, and, you know, with indie musicians, I don't want to say that they're more or less accessible, but, you know, in a sense, it's this whole thing where you kind of catch people before they make a big break or whatever it is, and it's just really cool to be able to connect with someone, be able to talk with them after the show, get them to sign a CD or something
yeah.
like that, and it's all about the experience, and even going back to what you were saying about, you know, playing the songs and having like a more intimate showing, you know, or one of the things that I heard when taking some of these classes and learning more about music and how to develop myself as a writer, as a performer, and you know, people don't want to go and like listen to the same thing that they're going to hear on a CD. They want to go. The reason they're coming to see you is because they want to have an experience. And so,
yeah,
from beginning to end, and that includes, you know, your set all the way to anything that happens post show, like. You want to create that experience. You want to create something unique, interesting, fun, something that they'll talk about, something that they'll tell their friends about. And, you know, and that's not even from a business standpoint. That's just from, like, you know, this is who I am as a musician. This is who I am as a person. And I'd love to just connect with you.
Next up is the song called I Wonder.
Smile fades away, and my heart is bruised. Oh, things change in the dark of the night, and I wonder. She opened.
Now, I noticed on your blog a few things. Every week, and I was remiss last week because I hadn't done my show in a couple months and I forgot, I always ask a foodie question. I'm obsessed with food.
Oh, okay.
Like, when I go to local places, you know, I want to eat locally. I don't want to do chain restaurants, and I want to experience what's good in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I always ask, you know, what's your favorite place to eat? What would you recommend, you know, someone eat at? And I noticed on your blog pictures of food, and I was like, he is going to do well with this question because he's on the same mindset I am. And then you have Chicago. So Chicago has lots of really great food.
There are quite a bit of places around here. I mean, it depends. What are you looking to do, what are you looking to eat while you're up here?
Well, I've got it covered for me. Trust me, I'm going with locals again, so they're taking me. But if somebody else was coming to town, if you were hosting somebody that hadn't been there, or somebody, a musician was touring and went there, and they could only eat at one place while they were there, what is the place you would tell these people to eat?
Ooh, that's tough. The standard way to go is bring them to deep dish if they're really into pizza. But if you really want to get crazy with it, my brother, he lives in Arkansas, and he was actually just visiting in town, and I discovered this new restaurant at the beginning of the year. It's an Ethiopian spot called Demera, D-E-M-E-R-A.
Okay.
So it's an Ethiopian spot. If you're into, like, ethnic cuisine, you know, it's just a different experience. And one of the dishes that was introduced to me the first time I went there with a friend who had been there before is a dish called, it's an entree called gored gored, G-O-R-E-D, gored gored. And it's basically raw beef, like sauteed and marinated with some spices. But you're just eating like raw cubes of beef, and it's the most tender, juicy thing that I've ever had before. And if you can get over like the psychological aspect of like I'm eating raw beef, which is difficult. My, you know, people that I brought there before have some difficulty with that. But I mean, if you can get over it and just focus on the flavor, ooh, you are gonna have a good time.
Yeah, I had a friend. A group of us were eating last night, and my friend's husband was sitting next to me, and he got a black and blue salad, and the meat he got, I said, what's wrong with that? That doesn't look right. He said, it looks beautiful. I ordered rare. And I said, oh, no. I said, that's too much for me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you can order, the thing is, you can order the meat rare or raw. So it depends on how crazy you want to get with it.
I would go with medium well. That's what I would go with.
But that's standard. You can get medium well anywhere.
Exactly. But, you know, if it's a good piece of meat and they season it right and all, it'll be fine. And that's, the waitress asked me, she goes, would you like some A1 with that? And I just looked at her and I said, if it's good quality meat and you've cooked it right, I shouldn't need A1.
That's surprising that they ask that. Usually, isn't it an insult to ask for steak sauce?
And even well, so it's a crappy restaurant, if you ask me, but that's where everybody wanted to go.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that restaurant's on the east side?
It's on the north side, so it's
north
an area
side,
called
okay.
Uptown.
Next up is the last song of the night, called Close. Then we'll come back and wrap up the show.
Can't wait. Well, I know know that we will make it. And I will be there and I will hold you close. Yeah, I will be there and I won't let you go. I won't let you go.
So another question that I ask, first of all, let me ask, have you toured?
I have not. I'm really hoping to do that in the fall with this album and help promote it then.
Now, where do you plan to tour? Because usually I'll ask people who are in the South, you know, East Coast, South, you know, I'll ask people in L.A., West Coast tour. Chicago, what do I ask? Do you go North?
Well, we're right in the middle, so I'll probably stay just around here. Yeah, I mean, one of the main focuses is just to kind of cater to wherever there's a presence. And I feel like I've built that up in Michigan and Wisconsin, down in southern parts of Illinois, like in Champaign, maybe St. Mm-hmm. Louis, Indianapolis. So, you know, right now it's kind of still starting out, so just trying to spread the music out to friends and their friends and, you know, hopefully with the help of online media and different things like that, different projects that I'm trying to do. If I can just spread the word around this area, I'm hoping to do a little Midwest tour in the fall sometime, just go around different cities here. And if it extends beyond that, then great. But, you know, we just want to play it small the first time around and let it grow organically from there.
And I kind of like the Midwest tour thing, because I was talking last week about last week's band. They're from Idaho. Mm-hmm. I'm from Colorado originally. And aside from Chicago itself, as a whole, the Midwest doesn't get a lot of people don't tour here or don't tour out west. They tend to go all the way west coast and down or all the way east coast down, mm-hmm. Nashville, Atlanta, something like that. But the midsection really misses out on a lot of that because it is so far to drive from one place to another.
So it's a big factor. But that's not right. They shouldn't be leaving you guys out.
I know. Well, Chicago is only 5 hours for me. Nashville's only 4 hours. Indianapolis is 3. So I'll drive to see people. You know, I've driven to Atlanta. That's 6 hours. So if there's somebody I really want to see, I'll drive to see them.
You're in a good spot there in Kentucky. I didn't realize you're kind of like central to a lot of major cities, a lot of big cities
yeah.
in the area.
Cincinnati's only like 45 minutes away, so, you know, I'm pretty close to a lot of things.
Thank you, Zane, for a great show, great interview. You were so fun to talk to, and I'm really looking forward to maybe checking out that Ethiopian restaurant when I go to Chicago in a couple of weeks. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed Zane's interview and his music. And if you're in Chicago, be sure and stop by Sylvie's Lounge on June 28th for the EP release of The Leap. You can also go to my blog, kivainterviewsyou.blogspot.com, to find out more about Zane, his music, and how you can get it. Be sure to tune in to Twitter Tuesday Live tomorrow night. Say that really fast. And next Monday, I have a special surprise. I have an interview with Sam Bradley, so I'm getting up first thing tomorrow morning to do that. And I'll bring you Sam and his new music from Not Your Kind next week. Till then, have fun.